Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, I want to thank you that as we get into the Word this morning, that our hearts are open to receive, and we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here ministering to us, revealing truth to us, and just loving on us, showing us the love of the Father as we just dig into your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, like I said 2 weeks ago, we're busy doing a growing in God series during this month. And what we're really focusing on is how do we grow as believers? How do we grow in our relationship with God? And the first part, which was 2 weeks ago, because last week we had the awesome guest speakers, we focused on find freedom. And how in Christ, in relationship with God, we find freedom. And this week we're looking at basically connect and belong, which is that we're part of something awesome, which is the church. Okay, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you. You know, we're basically looking at one of the greatest miracles in history, if you think about it. Because for 2,000 years plus, the church has, number one, survived, but also is thriving. And it's endured a lot of persecution. The church has endured a lot of opposition. We've really, it hasn't just been an uphill walk. All hell broke loose against the church from the moment it started, right? I mean, so this is really a miracle. And today, the church worldwide is growing and thriving. If we look in the book of Acts, you know, you'll see how the church, which is a miracle, was birthed. And you kind of see that it was a miraculous birth. And we're going to look at that in a moment. And on the first day of the church, we see that 3,000 people received Christ and became part of the church. I mean, the awesome thing in that is it shows that the moment you receive Christ, you're part of the church. Okay? It's not when you eventually sign a paper or get baptized somewhere or what. You know, the moment you receive Jesus, you're part of something great, the worldwide church. But there's this, I'm going to call it a sacred cow and just kill it for you. Which a lot of people in our circles absolutely love is that we like to go around and say, I'm the church. Okay? We like to go around and say, you know, I'm the church, and we use it as an excuse for us not to be part of a local church. Have you ever heard that? It's like let me just say, you're not the church. Okay? You might be Christian, spirit-filled, whatever, but you are not the church. We are the church. And the excuse comes in to kind of say, well, you know, I don't like this church. I can't find a church that I like, so I'm just going to have coffee with some believers. That's not even church. I know I'm standing on religious toes, but it's religious toes. Let me just help you identify them. If you can see this, it'll set you free to realize that you are not the church. We are the church. So we're going to look at what is the church, okay? Whenever the word church is used in the Bible, in the Greek, it uses the word ecclesia, okay, which means those who are called out or an assembly of believers. The called out ones, a gathering together of believers. Okay, so when the Bible talks about church, it's not referring to a building. We know that we move around a lot, especially with word fierce and things like that. But it's not talking about a building, otherwise we'd be in trouble. It's referring to a group of people who are specifically coming together for a purpose. It's a purposeful gathering together. It's not just a, hey, let's go have coffee, this is church. It's a, let's get together, and there's a purpose in it. And if you're not fulfilling the purpose of church, your group isn't church. Okay? I can see this is blessing you. The true church is made up of all born-again believers in Christ. Amen? Regardless of denomination or church affiliation or anything like that. But the local church is a purposeful gathering together. Okay, you could look at it like this. When you get born again, you become part of the body of Christ, which is also known as the church. So let's just say when you become a child of God, when you receive Christ, you become part of the body of Christ, but now you need to join a church, a local church. If you want to kind of just differentiate the two terms, body of Christ, which is also church, that's what you become part of when you become a Christian. But now you need to join a local church so that you can be part of something. Okay, and a local church is a purposeful gathering together of believers. When we're coming together for the right purpose, collectively, we are church. So you are not church, we are church. Okay, A local church is a purposeful gathering together of believers, and it's part of the worldwide church of God, which is the body of Christ. You know, there's a lot of people who might not value church like they should, and many of them have good reason, because there's a lot of churches which are really just operating out of legalism. You know, they're manipulating, they're abusing people, and that's obviously not God's heart, and they've misrepresented God. I've been part of churches like that. I've experienced that, so I understand. But you know what? When I got hurt by church, I realized that it's not Jesus hurting me, so I never got upset with him. It's just people. And you're never going to find the perfect church. You know, they say if you do, don't join it because you'll mess it up. And I heard another pastor say, if you want to find the perfect church, let me give you my gun. Now, you can kill yourself if you didn't connect the dots there. Because the perfect church is in heaven. But the point is that just because there's been some abuses and stuff and misrepresentations of Christ, doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, there's still something significant for us in what is church. And when we look at the book of Acts, we see the local church in action. Okay? And it's powerful. Now, let me just say this as well. We don't want to become the church of Acts. The church of Acts is a baby church that started to mature. Okay? We want to be really what Ephesians calls as the glorious church. We want to become the church which is, you know, without spot or wrinkle, the church which is really fulfilling what God's called us to do. You know, there's a couple mistakes in Acts which the church made. And we can learn from that, but then that also helps us to realize that the church wasn't perfect, so we don't want to be exactly like them. We can learn from them and move on, but we need to move on. Amen? For example, Acts 1:8, what does it say? You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. What for? To be a witness, to go into all the world. Okay? That's the purpose, one of the purposes of the church. It's one of the purposes of the empowering of the Spirit. Acts 8:1, what happened? Where's my Bible? There. Let's look there quickly. But basically, well, let me read it. Acts 8 verse 1 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." Whose death? Stephen. "At the time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem." So now there was a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. So what this is showing, if you read from Acts 1:8 up until Acts 8:1, the church became a holy huddle. And then a persecution came, wasn't sent by God, I don't believe, but a persecution is a natural result of just what we believe is going to come. And then what happened is it scattered the believers, and then they started to, it says further down, they went preaching the word everywhere. So then they started to do what they were called to do. They weren't just a holy huddle. Okay? So, we see in the book of Acts that the believers were committed to meeting together, to receiving teaching, to the fellowship with one another. They met together to pray, to worship, to eat together, to partake of communion. That's church in action, but it's also on a mission. Okay, Acts 2, verse 41 to 42 says, "Then those who received his word, gladly received the word, were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Acts 2:46 and 47. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So what we see from those verses is there's a special fruitfulness in coming together. There's a special fruitfulness for you and a special fruitfulness for me in coming together and for us, okay? It's almost like there's even a special blessing that flows, an anointing which flows when we're together, okay? We see that they met daily. I mean, that's interesting, not just once in a while. They met daily, and it wasn't just in the temple, it was in each other's homes. And this reveals that there was a deep sense of community. And so church, you can clearly see from the Bible, is about a deep sense of community. Not just a social club. It's a deep sense of community, doing life together. Which reveals that, you know, we are a family. That's what the church is. We're a family. And there's no family which is perfect, which means you're not going to find the perfect church. You're going to have brothers and sisters and uncles and aunties and whatevers in your family, which, you know, you might only enjoy seeing at Christmas. And you might feel the same way in church, but the point is like it's a good opportunity to learn to love people. You know? Ephesians 2 verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, which means of the same family. So we are of the same family because we're Christian. We are of the same family because we are Christian. Like, you know what that's saying? I am closer to you than your unsaved mother, father, brother, sister, or whatever. The blood of Jesus has brought us so close that we are closer than unsaved flesh. And that you might not like that, but it's the truth. We're going to spend eternity together. We pray for your unsaved loved ones. We want to reach them. We all of that, yes. But the reality is, as it stands right now, you and I are going to stand next to each other in heaven. It's a big place, so maybe you can find a place to hide. You know, there's lots of people, but the point is we're going to be together for eternity. We're going to cross paths sometime, I'm sure, so we can start to enjoy each other's company now, right? You know, Psalm 86, verse 6, the one part of it says, God sets the solitary in family. He sets the lonely in family. And so, you know, there may be reasons why you're currently lonely, but God intended that when you're in church, you're never lonely. When you're part of the local body of Christ, there should never be loneliness that just overwhelms you. You might feel lonely from time to time. That's different in a sense of, you know, learn to like your own company maybe, or whatever the case is, but there shouldn't just be this day in and day out, I just don't talk to anyone, I don't know anyone. You know, if you're part of a local church, it should be something which enriches your life, and you've got to manage your diary even properly because you're wanting to connect with people. You know, if the family is a priority for you, then it'll also affect your diary. It won't be an afterthought. It'll be one of your priorities that, hey, you know, like coming together on a Sunday or a Bible study or whatever. It'd be like you even having a meal with other believers. It'll be prioritized so that we can do life together. The awesome thing about being in the spiritual family is that, you know, you may have lost your father or your mother, or you may have never had one. You may not have your brother, or you might be an only child, or a brother or sister may have passed away, or they're not here, or whatever. In the church, there's many mothers, there's many fathers, there's many brothers, there's many sisters. Okay? And the awesome thing with that is that it enriches our lives, and we are able to enrich other people's lives by being that family member to them. But it takes two sides. I mean, to work. If you want that, you've got to step out and go for it. But then we've also got to all offer it to each other. You know, you can't just expect people to come to you and you want to be a spiritual father or spiritual mother or a sister or brother or whatever. You can't just expect it just to happen. You've got to go out of your way to actually facilitate that. Okay? So, you know, the local church is really just like an immediate family, where the believers should be the closest people to you. I really believe that. You know, they should be the closest people to you. You know, if the church is a couple thousand people, your life group should be the closest people to you. Your home group. You know, a lot of people are anti-big church because they say, you know, you can get lost in the church. You can get lost in this church too. They say you don't have the close sense of community. It's only because you're not involved. It's only because you're not in a life group. That's the only reason you would kind of feel like this isn't family, because you haven't joined, you haven't become a partaker in the family. A partaker is someone who knows people, is involved, is in a life group, you know, doing a lot. You might not have time for a life group, but you have time to maybe, you know, be involved somehow, because when you're involved, you start to get to know each other. Okay? If you want to experience family, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take sacrifice, sacrificing doing other things. Now, for a lot of people today, the wind helped people sacrifice. Just a joke, anyway. It also takes vulnerability. You know, if you're wanting to be part of the family, in a sense of, you know, I'm not just, this isn't just a Bible study club. This is doing life together. So, hey, everybody, I'm struggling with this at the moment, this relationship or whatever. Please would you help me? Please would you pray for me? That's vulnerability, and it brings you closer together. Okay? We might not agree on everything doctrinally, but the relationship should keep us together. Yeah, I just think of someone now who's pretty much been with us from the beginning, and there's always been a disagreement maybe on the way we do things or whatever, but they've been with us for years because of the relationships in the church, and they believe in what we're doing and the vision and whatever. So it just shows you don't have to agree with everything. You just learn to be humble about it. And then you can go in the right direction. You're not humble about it, that's when you find another church. The purpose of church. You know, when you don't know the purpose of something, you either abuse it or you neglect it and you don't experience the benefits of it. You know, and God's got such an awesome purpose, benefits for us in community, in church. I mean, that's the first purpose of church. Family, community, fellowship. It's all about relationships. It's all about learning to do relationships together. Now, we've got a series that's not at the back there at the moment, but it's how to deal with people or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. But, you know, that just shows you that you're always going to, if anytime there's relationships, there's a possibility for turmoil, for conflict, for strife. And you've got to learn to manage that and deal with it properly if you want to be effective in anything. You know what some people do? They go to this group, there's conflict, then they'll go into this group, and then the same conflict comes up, and they just go to the next place. There's no conflict. The same conflict comes up in this group or this church or this job, and then they go into this place, and the same problems come up. And it's just like, you know what? Everywhere I go, the same problems come up. I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to church anymore. You know what the problem was? They took them everywhere they went. It's true. Because 9 times out of 10, you're the problem. And so, and I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm saying that if you change your perspective and your attitude and you learn to deal with relationships, it'll help you tremendously. Okay? So the first purpose of church is family, community, fellowship, relationships. The next purpose I would give is teaching, equipping, discipleship, maturity. And I put that all in one because I don't want to just say teaching or just equipping or just discipleship. It's all about maturing. And that's what discipleship's about. And if you think about it, that's all to do with relationships as well. Church is all about relationships. Okay, Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 says, "And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So what that's saying is that Jesus appointed leadership in the church, leadership gifts or offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He gave these offices of leadership for what purpose? Not to lord over the church, but to equip the church, to minister to the church, to prepare the church for the work of the ministry, to help you, my purpose is to help you to be able to go out and make a difference in the world. I can't do that myself. It's for us to do together. You know, I'm a shepherd. I'm also a sheep, but I'm talking about my shepherd role now. As a shepherd, I don't make sheep. This is deep stuff. What makes sheep? Sheep. So I need to look after the sheep and help sheep make sheep. Deeply profound. Shepherds, a lot of churches do? They expect the shepherd to go out and make sheep. I'm paying him to do it. Well, you're not paying enough for him to do that. I'm talking about other churches, not this church. So the point is you need to make sure that you're being equipped and trained by leadership because that's their purpose. But you know what? A lot of people kind of who aren't too fond of church will say something like, "Well, I get good teaching online." Amen. I got good teaching online when I was struggling to find a church, and you know, through Andrew Womack's ministry online, that's what transformed my life tremendously. And I appreciate this, but he would say the same thing: you need to be in a church because you know, an online Bible teacher can't rebuke you, can't correct you. can't pray for you all the time. You know, you wake up and, or you've got a problem with your child, or you need counseling, or you need prayer, or you want someone to come and visit you. The online Bible teacher is not it. You know, you need to make sure that you're in a family so the family can look after you. Otherwise, you're not going to be looked after. You know, we've had, I know of someone who was with us for a while that knew the Bible back to front and inside out and all of this, but they had never been part of a church family. And so when they came here, there was a lot of conflict around them. And what a lot of people automatically did was, because of their, you know, amazing Bible knowledge, they automatically put them on a pedestal and said, that person's mature. But when you looked at the conflict around them and that they didn't know how to deal with relationships and they didn't, the word wasn't in practice in their life so much yet, you know what you see? Immaturity. Because maturity isn't Bible knowledge. Maturity is how much do you love people? How much has the Bible transformed in your heart and your life, and are you allowing that to overflow in your life? Okay, so you know, maturity is about having opportunities to practice the word. It's a nice way of saying it, eh? Maturity is about opportunities to practice the word. Proverbs 27, verse 17. The New Living Translation says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So what we are, we all iron. And as we deal with each other, we're sharpening each other. Fun, isn't it? We're making sure that we're on point so that we can be effective in what we're called to do. So, you know, you want to join a church, if you haven't already joined us, you need to be prepared for some sharpening. And, you know, in Grace Life, it'll be done in love. It's done in grace and all of this as best as we can. But the point is like, you need to allow your brothers and sisters in Christ to call you out on something because they love you. You know, if you keep doing that piece of stupid, you're going to end up in a big hole. Praise God for the family which can help you. You know, in our culture and society, you know what kind of relationships we want? We want the kind of relationships where we don't talk about the issues, we ignore them. And you just continue to say, I'm doing the right thing. Isn't it true? Because as soon as you say, I don't think you're doing, that's not such a wise move you're making, you're condemning me. No, I'm not condemning you, I'm trying to help you. You're about to step over a cliff, and this isn't very clever, and I want to show you the, no, it's my life, I can do what I want. Okay, well, go for it. But I didn't want to see you jump off a cliff. So in family, we're able to sharpen each other and help each other, but we've got to be prepared to receive it. It's not always easy, but we need to learn to receive it gracefully as much as we need to learn to give it gracefully. And let me just say, it's not your role to go out and point everybody's rough edges that they need to work on. Pray for them, let them be whatever, let the people who are leading them do that. Okay. So, as iron sharpens iron. Then, I mean, we gather together to worship together. It's really awesome. Like, even this morning, such a special time in worshiping God and singing praises. And, you know, it's so much better than even when I do it at home by myself. It's nice to do it together. But another point, which kind of links onto the maturity aspect, is being shepherded, which is talking about relationships. You can't be shepherded at home alone with your Wi-Fi connection to download teachings or watch online church. We love online church. It provides a great opportunity for people to be part of something if they can't find a church in their area. But it's not God's best. God's best is that you've got community and relationship. Okay? And you need to allow yourself to be shepherded. Okay? Acts 20, 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, you can get many things out of this verse, but the only thing I want to pull out of it is that God's called people to be shepherds in the church. Okay? And those shepherds are there for a purpose. Not to manipulate the sheep, lord over the sheep or whatever, but it's to protect you, care for you, feed you, guide you, all of that. But you need to allow yourself to be shepherded. Just because we see you every week doesn't mean we automatically have the right to shepherd you. Maybe from the pulpit, but I mean, sometimes, you know, you need to just say, hey, I've got this situation, would you help me? That's a shepherding opportunity. Things like that. You know, being shepherded isn't just about getting good teaching and when you're feeling down, being encouraged. It's more than that. You know, being shepherded means you're being shepherded in good doctrine, in good, like in a good path of what you should believe, and away from bad doctrine. You know, you're being protected from bad doctrine. You're being protected from negative things. You know, if I was a bad shepherd, anybody would be able to stand at the pulpit and say what they want. But I mean, from 2010, I decided and made the commitment that if somebody stood at the pulpit and said something off, I would correct them, if it was very bad. If it was a guest speaker, we let them have their say, and afterwards we just have to have another sermon. And then I have to apologize for letting them stand you. But the point is that, you know, we need to shepherd you in good doctrine. Why? Because doctrine is vital. What you believe determines your experience in life. And so we need to make sure that we're feeding you properly. Food is important. What you eat is important. You can't live on junk food. You've got to live on wholesome food. And so if you're not getting a wholesome, now we provide a wholesome meal, I believe, every Sunday, but are you partaking in the feast is another question. Because it's up to you to take something out of it. A lot of people come and make their shopping list. I don't know anyone like that. Let me just say, I know a lot of people who do go to church, make their shopping list. 1 Timothy 1 verse 3 says, as I urged you, now Paul's writing to Timothy, senior leader writing to junior leader, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul's saying, hey, doctrine is important. The leaders should be in directing what doctrine we're teaching, the direction that we're going with regard to doctrine. Okay? And, you know, some churches do take this to an extreme, and maybe, you know, I've been in churches, and I know of people who've been in churches where, you know, they're leading, someone's leading a Bible study. I know of this church in the States. This woman was in leadership. She was a pastor, and she was overseeing all the life groups in the church. And she got turned on to grace and started doing Joseph Prince Bible study in one of the life groups. And the other leadership heard about it and were like, you can't do that. Now, what's right and wrong in that situation? Grace is right, yes. But what's the right response? I'm sorry, I won't do it again. That's the right response. You might have the right teaching stuff, but it's wrong to do it when they say, you know, you might be in a church. I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe it's for someone who's visiting. But you might be in a church and you're like, I'm going to help change it. I'm going to bring in you know, the right doctrine or whatever. God hasn't called you to do that. He doesn't call a believer to change the church. He'll change the leader. You pray for your leader. He works through leadership. He doesn't work just to, you know, you might have a relationship with the leader and you're influencing them a little, and that's fine. Don't go in and think that you're the savior of the church and you're going to change everything. That's ungodly. You thinking you're going to change the vision of a church is ungodly. God gives the vision to someone and you've got to follow that. Otherwise, go somewhere else. 1 Timothy 4:11, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Let's read that again. New Living Translation, 1 Timothy 4:11. Teach these things. So he's saying these things, teach them. And insist that everyone learn them. It's not just a, hey, let's just come and everything, you know, whatever goes, if whatever floats your boat, let's just do it. That's a recipe for disaster. So we're a family. And in this family, you know, one of the benefits is being shepherded. You know, one of a good testimony of that is when we did have someone who was sharing some bad doctrine and giving some bad prophecies. And, you know, it was a while back, and it was really just causing a lot of destruction. And, you know, we asked them to repent, and they didn't want to. They refused. And so we eventually just said, you know what, you got to go. You're not welcome. And, I mean, that's part of church leadership's responsibility, is to look after the flock by sometimes having to say to someone, you know what, if you're not willing to change and stop this, then you have to go. Like, cut out the cancer. And it's only an extreme situation. And, you know, this person had made a lot of friends. That's part of the strategy, I believe, the behind the scenes, is to make friends with a lot of people so that if you do go, then it causes a problem. That's how the enemy wants to work. And one of the people in this situation really blessed me because they came to me and said, you know, that was one of my good friends that you told to leave. And I really am confused because I can't see what you see. But I just feel on my heart that I need to trust you because you're my leader. And I'm going to, you know, allow you I'm going to continue to support you and whatever, and just pray that I understand what's going on. It was only like a year and a half later that they came to me and said, I now understand, I can see it. A year and a half later, and they just chose to have the right attitude, the right heart, go in the right direction, because it was a case of God told me that as my shepherd, you have my best interest at heart. And so they just went, they submitted and carried on, even though it was painful that they lost a friend in the church. One of their good friends left, or had to leave. That's a good attitude. Another purpose of church is that we're a family on a mission. Now, family on a mission means relationships too. It's not just going out there and hit and miss all over the world, wherever you feel like it. It's all about relationships. Because God will open doors into countries even where you've got relationships. And it's networking and things like that. Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just some nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to bring this up just now. I can see it's further down in my notes. So it's important to note that we're not just a family for our own benefit, but we're a family on a mission. Okay, and like I said, a church is a purposeful gathering. Part of the purpose is we care for one another, we're joined to one another, we look after one another, but then together we're doing something great in the world. We're impacting the nations because that's what God's called us to infect and influence the world with His message. Amen? You know, we're called and commissioned as His ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20, to make disciples of all nations. It's not just my job, it's our job. Okay? And it's really a privilege. You know, Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, and you'll be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. I like the way that this is structured, this verse. Because you get some people who are like, you know what, you're wrong in planting a church in Albania because we haven't impacted South Africa like we should have. Some people have that mentality. No one here. But some people have that kind of mentality. And so what they say is, you know, you've got to be a witness first in Jerusalem and then in Judea and then in the Western Cape and then in South Africa and then in Africa. And they kind of have the then mentality. What is the word, the conjunction used? And. It's not a process of step one, step two, step three. You've got to start somewhere. So we start in Stellenbosch, obviously. But then, who cares if we skip the whole continent and went to Albania? We can fill the gap. But the point there is it says and, meaning everywhere. This, you know, be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts in the world. Everywhere is included. That's what it's saying. Not just some. But this is also showing us that if you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's an empowering for mission. It's not just an empowering to feel a goosebump. You know, some people like to have meetings and get together just for the goosebump. That's not for us. You experience a lot more satisfaction as you step out and just go for it in doing what you're called to do. So, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. I'm going to read the second part of that, and then I'm going to read verse 14 from the ESV. It says, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ, for the body does not consist of one, but of many members. So this is saying, hey, the body, like, Grace Life isn't just Shane. Grace Life is us. You know, the church isn't just Grace Life. The church worldwide is all the churches made together. And we are a bag of mixed nuts, right? But we're family. We're family. You know, as Christians, we're part of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who's joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. But this is also saying that as Christians, we're part of one another. So you and I are part of one another. And if we're doing church right if we're enjoying what Jesus died to give us, church family. That's one of the things he died to give us, church family. And through his death and resurrection and us partaking in that, we become one with each other, not just one with him. When we partake of communion, what are we celebrating? Our unity in Christ. That's one of the things. We're celebrating that we're joined together. Okay, why don't many Christians experience the benefit of this being joined together? You know, because they see it like a local club, an optional weekend activity, or an add-on to their life, when this should be something which is like, hear me, I know you can misinterpret this, but where your life revolves around it, because it's the community, it's the fellowship, it's the relationship, it's not the Sunday service, it's the community, it's the fellowship, it's the togetherness, it includes Sunday services. But it should be a coming together and a celebration, but it's doing life together. We're participating through building meaningful relationships. That's the key to building church. And for you, if you want to experience the benefits of church and what God's got for us in church, you need to be purposeful in building significant relationships, not the high and by relationships. We've all got them in church. You can't be friends with everyone, but some people will just be high and by, but we need to go out of our way to connect with each other so that we're not just high and by or how was your week? See you again on Wednesday. Yeah, let's meet up again on Saturday for a picnic or whatever. A little bit more. How's your mother doing? You told me she wasn't doing so well. You know, you know what's going on in each other's lives. We're part of one another, which means we need to care for one another, encourage one another. And when we do that, we're caring for and encouraging each other. Ourselves, actually. We're caring for and encouraging ourselves because we're part of one another. So if I'm investing into Peter's life, I'm not just investing into his life, I'm also investing into his wife's life, but I'm investing into my own life because we're part of each other. You know, if I'm looking after my arm, it's not just for my arm's sake, it's for my whole body's sake. Okay? And if you abuse one part of the body, you're abusing yourself too. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15 to 21 from the ESV says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if you've got these kind of divisions in church, but it doesn't make the way we're dividing church doesn't make that part or us any less a part. We're actually still one. Even the crazies, we're all together. I don't classify you crazy there. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If we were all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again to the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Every part of the body is important. Every part of Grace Life is important. Now contextualizing it to us as a local church. You know, I'm going to speak about gifts and stuff, spiritual gifts and all of that next week. But just a little bit on that now. Every single one of you believers has spiritual gifts. Some of you are sitting on your gift. And you're not the only one who's losing out. You're not the only one losing out. I'm losing out. The person sitting next to you is losing out. You are doing all of us a disservice by sitting on your gifts and not using them. We all got a part to play. And it's not like, I've got to use my gift in church. Don't use your gift if that's your attitude. If it's not motivated by love, it's not going to do anything. It's a joy and a privilege to be able to use your gifts and your talents and your abilities to help bless each other and strengthen the local church. You value each part of your body because it's part of your body, right? Every single part of your body has a unique function and a unique role. If you had to choose between your arm and your leg, could be difficult. He had to choose between, hey, I'm going to lose my eyesight or my earring. Which one do I want more? It's difficult because you want both. Every part is important and vital because God's given every single part of your body a special role. The same thing with you here. You know, the church often suffers because many people don't see themselves as part of the body. You don't see yourself as someone who can add value. Get into discipleship. Get into a life group. Do rooted. As you start to see yourself as God sees you, you're going to start to just overflow. You might feel like, oh, I've got nothing to give. Dig into the Word. If you say you've done rooted, do it again. Do I am. You know, it goes through these things to enrich yourself. And when you have a revelation of who you are in Christ, it'll affect the way that you are in church. It's not just going to affect your family and your money and your health and all of that. It's going to affect the way you are in church as well. Because God, Christ, has made you part of the local church. But you've got to choose. You've got to embrace it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 to 27. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You know, when you have a toothache, it doesn't just affect that tooth. You know, sometimes it can affect the whole side of your body. You drop a hammer on your toe, your whole body rejoices. The whole body reacts is probably a better way to say it. But, you know, your success is my success. Your pain is my pain. I want to be compassionate with you. And we're all part of each other. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, if we just pause there, some people are out to stir one another up towards the wrong thing. Not love and good works. But, you know, some of you, we can't stir you up. And it's not because you're dead. It's because you're not part of. If you were part of, we would be able to stir you up. And you might be sitting there going, I just feel like I'm just not passionate, I'm not stirred up, I'm not whatever. Hey, get part of those things. Become a partaker. And then through relationship, we can stir you up. You can't stir up something you don't have relationship with. I can do as much as I can in an hour, but you need more than that. You know, for some of you, it's more desperate than that. We need to stir one another up. We need to consider how to stir up. That means it's purposeful. It's strategic. How are we going to stir you up to love and good works? Not neglecting to meet together. That's part of it. When we neglect to meet together, we're removing ourselves from being able to be stirred up towards love and good works. When we're removing ourselves from fellowship, whether it's your Bible study, your home group, whether it's meeting on a Sunday, whether it's just connecting for relationship or whatever, you know, what you're doing is you're removing yourself from the opportunity to be stirred up and encouraged, and you're also removing yourself from the opportunity to stir up and encourage. Because it's a two-way street. Okay? It says, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this is a prevalent attitude where many people don't value church. They don't value meeting together because they're busy with their own life. It's our life now, really. You know, we're a family. Scripture says that in the end times, more and more believers will be in the habit of neglecting to meet together. I believe that this is a strategy of the devil. He wants us to draw ourselves away from fellowship and community, not meet together and allow the encouragement and allow the stirring up towards good works. Why? Because it slows down God's mission as the day approaches, as the end approaches. And so if he can isolate you, you're not part of the mission. And then you know, we can't be as effective as we could be because you're isolated. You're not doing your bit. But also we lose out on the relationship because you're not there. You know, when you don't come to church, if we know you, it's not like, we really missed you warming that chair for us. It was so disappointing to see your chair unopened because, you know, it's especially molded for your bum or whatever. It's like, we don't miss you in that position. You know, I don't even see everybody that's at church on a Sunday because there's some people sitting in the mother's room. And, you know, I don't even know who's there. And the point is that we miss out on the relationship, the interaction. Because when we come together, we should be interacting. That's why we have tea and coffee afterwards. That's why beforehand even, you know, we're ready to engage and mix together and all of that. Yeah, the early church met frequently in the temple and in homes, which could be like life groups and fellowship over a meal and all of that. And when we're meeting together, we're able to build spiritual family. We're able to build relationships, do life together, help one another, all of that. You might be sitting here today and you're not connected, and you might have a really challenging situation right now that you need help with. And you may have come here today saying, you know what, I really need an answer, God. And let's say it's a work situation or a finance situation or whatever. You know, you might not get it today. But if you know some, if you've invested into relationships, you might know someone and be able to go, hey, I've got a challenging situation. Can you pray for me? Or at life group, or phone someone and go for coffee with them, or whatever the case is. But, you know, we can't always sniff out when you're going through a problem. We're spiritual, but we're not always that spiritual. You know, sometimes God will speak in my heart and say, you know, you need to contact so-and-so, but I'm not always listening. I'm busy. I try not to be so busy, and I try to listen, but hey, don't rather just go out of your way to receive. It's more foolproof. Now, many people are discouraged and depressed, but it's simply because they're not connected. Not because of demons in your life, it's because you're not connected. If you remove a coal from fire, that coal will burn out. It'll just fade out, should we rather say. We can't effectively care for you, minister to you, and love you if you remove yourself. You need to be in connection. You need to be in fellowship. The scripture here says that we need to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. You can attend every week and still not partake in that verse because you're just attending. You're not participating. We need to consider how to stir one another up. It's talking about an action. It's talking about not a passivity, but an activity. You know, we should be wanting to invest into each other's lives. And I mean, imagine a church where everyone's doing that. Who can I encourage today? Who can I bless today? How can I help someone today? People will want to come that aren't part of, because they'll want to experience what we've got here. What did Jesus say? They'll know you are my disciples by your love for one another. That's what he's talking about. Us encouraging each other. Us building into one another. I want to challenge you in a sense that, you know, I as the pastor, can't connect to everyone. I can try my best and all of that, but I don't have the capacity. But there are other leaders you can connect with, and there's lots of people that you can connect with. So I want to challenge you. Go out of your way to connect with someone. You know, with the tea and coffee, it's an awesome opportunity. And don't just go for people that are like you. Go out of your way to connect with people who aren't like you. You'll learn something. You're just going for people that are like you. You won't always learn as much as you could if it was someone that's not like you. And I'm not just talking about skin color. I'm talking about demographics, age, all of that, life stage. It's important that we learn to connect with people from different life stages, because you're not just called to reach people that are like you. You're called to reach the whole world. That's one of the things I enjoy about my boys, William and Elliot, is they can connect in almost any culture. Every culture we've been into, they've been able to connect with the people. They've never been scared of they weren't scared of the Albanians. You know, the Albanians would pick them up because they're kids and kiss them on both cheeks a couple times, and just without warning. I promise you, if you did that to them here, they might freak out, because it's not our culture. But we warn them that the culture is different, and you're just going to have to expect the unexpected. I don't know how they took that, but they dealt with it very well. The car guard would pick up William when we were walking in there and just like run to him and pick him up and give him kisses. Because he's not limited by just hanging out with people that are like him. When you only hang out with people like you, you limit God's ability in your life. You limit your destiny. But let me just talk about choosing a church for a moment. For those of you, there might be some who are still trying to choose a church or something. I think the most important thing is obviously to do it in a relationship with God, to pray. But then you need to consider what's most important for you in church, choosing a church. If someone I heard about this past week, they moved to another town, so they're not part of Grace Life anymore because they geographically moved. And they were just telling us how they found this other church and X, Y, and Z, and you know, it's a very small church, whatever, this and that, the next thing. But the thing which impressed me the most about them choosing to go to this church was the fact that they weren't choosing according to the worship or the size of the church or whatever. They were choosing according to a belief and relationship, which I think are two important aspects. But some of the other elements which are vital, I believe, is vision and mission. Why does the church exist? What do they want to accomplish? You sat here for a long time and you don't know why we exist, then I don't know where you've been. We've given you many opportunities to come to a Connect and Belong where we can tell you that stuff. And I'm not going to tell you that stuff this morning. But after the service, we'll give out this. And in this little booklet is all the stuff you need to know about who we are. Why do we exist? How you can be part of it. But vision and mission is important because some churches just exist to exist. We don't. Okay, we've got a purpose. We're going somewhere. Then you need to ask yourself, what do they believe? Because some churches, wow, awesome service. And this was just so exciting, you know. It was just amazing. It was an emotional high. Emotional high. And then you don't know what they believe, and you've stuck around for a year and a half, and then you all of a sudden realize that they believe a whole lot of stuff that you don't, you know, scubala, for those of you who know Greek, that you don't want to know. Am I right in pronunciation there, Philip? You know, stuff that you don't want to know. You know, so you need to know, what do they believe? Why do they exist? Everything else is an add-on. It's cosmetic. Now, we used to have a band, but we're still waiting for those with those gifts to come forward. And then for us to you know, start to get it going in the right direction. But this is working the way we're doing it. You guys are participating in worship in an awesome way where it doesn't matter that it's an MP3. You know, every time we sing together, I'm experiencing the presence of God and I'm enjoying it. So thank you. But that's just an add-on. You know, when we were in Albania and we had the Freedom Conference there, you know what we did? We had some, as people arrived, there was tea and coffee and whatever, and then Alicia would start the service whenever we needed to start. I would stand up and I would preach. And then we would pray for people and then we'd go home. We didn't sing. Because it's not the most important thing, I believe, in the service. For some of you it is, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing, I believe, is the Word and then the fellowship around the Word. So visit, you know, another way to choose a church is to visit them, obviously. Visit a life group, visit some socials, try and connect in and see if you can connect in because the relationships are the important part. You know, for me personally, if I found a good Grace church, if I was looking for a church, I'm not, but if I was, and I found a good Grace-based church, the Word was good and everything like this, to be honest, I wouldn't mind if I didn't have friends there for a while. I'd be fine with that. Because I would be happy to just be enriching myself with the Word. I'd get involved. I would serve. And I would just think, wow, this is such a privilege, even if I don't know anyone. And I've done that at different churches. Not while I've been here, though. The next point that I would say is commit and participate if you're wanting to be part of a church. Commit and participate. You know, from April onwards, we're going to be running something called the Growth Track, which will be every Sunday, after every Sunday morning service, and it's going to help you to grow in your relationship with God and all of that, but it's also a way of connecting into the family officially, okay? We'll tell you more about that closer to April, but another way to commit and participate is to discover your gifts. You'll discover your gifts in the Growth Track, but you'll discover what are your gifts and your talents if you don't know them, and then use them. I would be interested to see how many of us know our gifts and our talents and our abilities and don't use them. We need to use what God's given us. Then the next one would be to give financially. Support the church, you know, which ministers to you, which you are part of. Some people, you know, you might be sitting there and you might be saying, I've been part of the church for a while and I haven't been giving. Am I not? Are you saying I'm not part of the church? No, I'm not saying that you're not part of the church. You don't have to give to be part of the church. But you're part of the church, and so you should give. You know, Jesus said, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So if you're not giving into the church that you're in and you're receiving from, you know what it means? You don't really value the church like you should. And you never will until you start investing into it. You know, another point of being part of a church and looking for a good church is you need to submit to the leadership. We years back, I don't remember when this was, but Martin and I went and had a lunch with someone who was interested in joining the church. So they wanted to, they did the membership thing, the connect and belong, and then they said, no, they want to meet with us before we become part of the church, even though they were already really part of the church. And they just said, you know, there's just two things that we can't agree with, or we're struggling with. I said, what are they? He said, number one, it's a very young leadership. I can't submit to a young leadership. It's like, that's a problem that you've got, though. You know, it's not my problem. I can't change that. Just give me a few years, and then we can adjust that. But, you know, so the point is that it's a heart issue. And I said to him, you know, it's not about who's fulfilling the office, although part of it is. It's about the office. And so you might look at me and say, oh, he's too young. But then what you need to do is you need to say, okay, well, Lord, you've put him in that position. I'm going to honor the position. I'm going to honor him. You know, I'm going to choose to submit and receive from him. That's the right attitude. Then the other thing was he didn't agree with us on certain things teaching-wise, which were fundamental. So I was like, move on. You know, it's more important for you to go where you feel you can agree with their vision and the direction and the doctrine and all of that. But Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, New Living Translation, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your soul, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. That doesn't sound like it's copied right. What does it say there? Obey them that I have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's unprofitable for you to make my job misery. Amen. Vision, you know, is an important part of this. God calls a person. He gives a person a vision. Then he calls a team together. You look through the Bible. He doesn't call a committee. We're not Baptists. I was, so I can say that. He calls a team together around a vision, around someone who's got the vision, and then they take it forward. He doesn't call people to join that vision to change the vision. So, you know, if you want to join, then, and you don't like the vision, find somewhere where there is a vision. You know, we've had people come and they try and constantly change the vision. It tires me out. This verse is for them. It really makes me tired when, you know, God's given us a vision and he's shown me this is the direction we're going. We're running. And they're constantly saying, you're not running in the right direction. How do you know? You're not Holy Spirit. I've got people around me who check me and can call me out and leaders like that. But it's not for someone who just joined the church. Doesn't matter even if your title is intercessor. And where's the line? 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. And you should follow my example just as I follow Christ. So I'm not saying blind obedience and blind submission in a sense of just do everything Shane says. Everyone pull out your knives. Come, let's make a sacrifice to Jesus. You know, that's run. Don't do it. You know, that's a cult. But when I stop following Christ, stop following me. That's what it's saying. Follow me as far as I'm following Christ. As soon as I start saying, you know what, I heard of this happening. It was in Johannesburg. I don't know which church, but this is years back, before 2001. You are not my wife. You are. Thus says the Lord. The guy points to his wife on the front row and says, you are not my wife. And then points to the music leader probably. You are. That's, yes, run. The doors are usually open. Run. If they're not open, find a window in the bathroom, you know. Then one of the things I want to encourage you is with regard to being part of a church and trying to connect, and it's difficult. Can I say, especially in the Western Cape culture, or the Cape Town culture? When I first came here, it took me, I think, a year, and I couldn't find a church. I visited everything from Sea Point to Stellenbosch when I first moved here in 2005, and I just struggled. And I couldn't find something. I found something with vision, and then I was like, you know, it didn't work, especially because I was listening to Andrew Womack. And so I struggled. And, you know, eventually I just joined the Baptist Church because I had friends there. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go here. And I committed and I survived for a year, and I was like, there you go. Done my time. I can move on. Because it was a case of it wasn't who I am. It wasn't part. It didn't enrich me. And so I moved on. But the point is that it takes time to connect. Even if you're not part of a church and you're just moving somewhere new, it takes time to connect into relationships anywhere, not just church, anywhere. I don't know why you'd be moving somewhere and you don't have a church family there already, but that's another story. It takes time, so I want to encourage you. Faithfulness will benefit you. Participating will benefit you, but it takes time. You know, the best way to make friends, get involved. Help put out chairs, greet people at the door, serve tea, coffee, whatever. Get involved and you start to get into the life of things and make relationships. Now, another point I want to make before we close. Is that my phone? It's the timer. Please switch it off. How to leave a church. I think it stopped there. How to leave a church, because I think a lot of people don't know this. We mention it when we do connect and belong, but I want to encourage you just in this, and that is, when God says go, go. But when God says go, a lot of people, it's very funny, they come and they're like, God's told me to join this church. Usually I wait, I'm watching, because next week they don't come back that quick. Then you've got some people, God's told me to join this church, they commit, they join in, and then they get offended and they leave. Don't let offense lead you. Let God lead you. Deal with offense and you'll grow and you'll mature. But if you just leave because of offense, you'll never mature, you'll never grow. Okay? I was sitting with a friend of mine once, and he was in a church where it's legalistic, and he knew it, but he was called to change the church. That was part of the problem. And then because he was friends with the leadership, he felt like, if I leave, I'm betraying them. And I was like, my first question, are you being enriched and fed through the ministry here? He said, no. But I'm listening to online teaching and all of this. I said, okay, that's fine. That's good. Are you able to enrich other people's lives, and are you ministering to other people's lives? No, because I can't teach what I'm learning. I was like, why are you there? There's no point for you to be there. You need to go where you're fed and or where you can feed. Okay? So if it's not enriching your life, start praying about moving on. But start giving first. See how you can be a blessing, because you'll grow through that. But if you can't grow, then leave. Go somewhere else. If you can't accept the vision and mission, don't try and change it. Move on. And then be courteous and just send an email, or depending on the relationship that you would have with the church, the leadership, send them an email, give them a phone call. Hey, you know what? I'm leaving. I feel, you know, God told me, or this is why I'm leaving. You know, if you want to talk about it, that's fine. Thank you so much for the time that I could have with you. I appreciate it. And, I know you guys are doing a good job, so thank you, or whatever. And you just leave gracefully. But, you know, the bottom line of what I'm wanting to share with you this morning was just that you're part of something which is awesome. It's the family of God. But you've got a part to play. You might be the arm, you might be the foot, you might be the liver, whatever. We need you. Some people feel like, hey, I'm not needed. You know, you are needed. Everyone's got a part to play, because God's placed spiritual gifts inside of you. Next week we'll talk about that. The spiritual gifts inside of you, are the purpose of that for them is to help build the church and encourage one another, so we can be strong in doing what God's called us to do. Amen. Father, I want to thank you that as believers, we have the privilege of being part of your body. We have the privilege of being part of one another. Father, I pray for every single one of us that we would just begin to see it like that. See that you've uniquely created us to fulfill something in your church. It's not just for those in full-time ministry, it's for everyone. We're all called to be part of your kingdom and growing it and advancing it and loving, you know, and we grow and advance it by loving one another, by enriching one another's lives. We just want to thank you, Father, that we can all be part of that. Thank you that even if we're not, there's anybody here who's not part of Grace Life, they may be just visiting. I thank you, Father, that they are part of your body, the universal church. And I just pray for them, Father, that they would find the place where you want them to be. If it's here, then awesome. Help us to receive them. Help us to build relationship with them, Father. But if it's not you, I thank you, Father, that you're leading them and guiding them and showing them where they can go.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.